Wonderful. Will you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I've been preaching on written and read. Thank you for the good singing of the choir, and thank God for Brother Larry this morning and the proteins and all the workers there. I thank God for the good music. I'll say a word about our revival down in Florida just in a few moments, and I'll share a few announcements with you just before we leave. But I want us to look now in Matthew chapter 5. For all our friends in the radio audience who've not been a part of our study, I've been preaching a series on written and read. Just finished going through the Beatitudes, and I'm going to pick up this morning in Matthew chapter 5, one verse for emphasis to read this morning. Notice in chapter 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the blessed privilege of being here this morning. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, God, would bless. I thank you for all these young people and for all the workers. And God, we do pray that, God, that you'd speak to their hearts and help them to grow in the Lord. Help us to love them and to be there for them. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you'd just use these young people to reach other young people. And I pray, God, for every adult in the building this morning. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit once again would speak to hearts. God, I pray you'd help us to understand our responsibility in the world that we live in. And I pray, God, you'd help us to be what you want us to be for your glory. Lord, if there's a lost person here this morning, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. We pray, our Father, that you deal with them about the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray, God, this morning for every man, woman, boy, and girl here and in the radio audience, I pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Salt. Salt of late has become in bad company around in our nation especially. I hear people talking about salt, and it's always bad for you. They're always talking about how bad salt is for you. But the truth of the matter is salt's not bad for you. It's a combination of salt plus everything else we've done to our body previously that creates the problem. God gave salt. It's a natural mineral, and it's something that God gave for us, and it's a good connotation in the Bible. And so I want us to look this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples that you are the salt of the earth, and that has a meaning for us. And what does it mean that we're salt? When you go back through the Bible, you'll find a good bit of information about salt in the Bible. For instance, turn back in your Bible to the book of Leviticus and chapter number 2 in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, the Lord has given direction as to the types of sacrifices, and all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Passover was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the New Testament, the writer says that Christ is our Passover. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament to take away sin. But the Bible said the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ who came, that his blood takes away all of our sin. But when you come to the book of Leviticus, notice, if you will, in chapter 2 and verse 13, "And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." Did you know that? Did you know that they had salt when they offered their offerings? And that salt is a picture of the righteousness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, you understand that salt is white, and that speaks of purity. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the pure Lamb of God, who came to give his life a ransom for sin. The Bible said that there was no sin in him, and he was absolutely pure. And so when that salt is added to that sacrifice, symbolized for them the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of God, and it was a picture that everything that they offered, it had to be with the holiness of God in it and the sacrifice of God involved in it. Notice another little passage of scripture regarding salt in the Old Testament, and turn to the book of Numbers and look in Numbers, if you will, please, chapter number 18. In the book of Numbers, chapter 18, he gives us some more information about salt in the Bible and makes a mention of something. And let me find it right quick. I didn't mark it like I told you I'm not going to do. I wanted to get it where I can read it for you. Numbers And we're going to look in chapter number 18. Look at verse number 19. Numbers 18 and verse number 19. And notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. He said this. Numbers 18 and verse number 19. Let me look on the other side. All the heave offering of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given to thee. He's speaking about to the priest, of course. And all of the heave offering that was their portion of the sacrifice that went to them. Thy sons and thy daughters with thee for a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed forever. Here he talks about a covenant of salt. All the sacrifices had to have salt. But he talks about this particular thing, that the heave offering that was offered by Israel, one of the offerings they came in and brought, they would bring in a bullock, a young bull, and they would sacrifice it. The priest would flay it. He would cut it up. And they'd take a hind quarter, and it would be a heave offering or wave offering, and they'd wave it before the Lord. Now, God said that portion of that sacrifice goes to the priest. And so it goes to them. And he said it is a salt covenant. And notice, here's the key phrase, forever. Forever. Salt speaks of eternity. It speaks of something that's to last a long time. It speaks of that quality of everlasting or eternal life. And when you and I are saved, we receive everlasting eternal life. You're saved for all eternity. The Bible says that our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the salt that's in you and the salt that's in me and the quality in me and you that would he depicts by salt is in fact the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sacrifice for sin, who we trusted and we became part of that everlasting covenant. And it is Christ living in me and working in me to do his good will and pleasure. It is my Christ likeness that he's talking about. It is when I live like Christ, I surrender to Christ, I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. And when he's talking about your soul, he's talking about the fact that you who have trusted Christ and are controlled by Christ and filled by Christ and live the life of Christ, that is the saltiness that's in this world. Now, it's not me personally, it's not you personally, but it is Christ loving through us and working through us and living a holy life through us. Now, when you and I depart from that, when we get self-willed, when we don't want to serve God, when we lay down our weapons, when we lay down our armor, when we backslide, when we lay out of church, when we quit reading the Word of God, when we quit being faithful to God, when we defile our separation, begin to look like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, and do what like the world, when we lose that element of being surrendered to Christ, then that's what the Bible talks about, losing our savor. Now, why did he compare us to salt? What about it? Well, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll see many pictures of salt in the Bible. But let me give you three or four things, and if you want to write them down just real quick. Number one, salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. I remember my Uncle Carson. We had a lot of chickens and other things. But my uncle, all the hogs were across the road at my uncle's house. Mom and Daddy, they had one pen over there and they had all hogs over there. But we used to have hog killings. Most of you have been a part of that. Many of you have. A lot of our younger people haven't. But I remember Uncle Carson, we'd have the old hams, and of course, some of them you smoke, such as that. But they'd take that salt, and they'd just pack that salt. We'd pack that salt all around those hams, and you just wrap them up in that salt, because that salt preserves that meat. It keeps it from rotting. It keeps it from decaying. And so that salt preserves that. And Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. Now, when you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that the Old Testament saints were in fact salt. They were the preservatives. They were the ones who God kept. You remember when Abraham was there and the angels came and they were going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city? And he pointed out the fact in that passage of Scripture that the saints are the preservatives. It's what keeps the wrath of God from falling on us. And so Abraham said to the angel, he said, what are you going to do? And he said, we're going to destroy that city. And he said, if there were 100 righteous in that city, would you spare the city? He said, I would. And he comes on down and he just goes through different numbers, 40 and 50 and so on. He finally comes down to 10. He said, if there were only 10 righteous people. Now, that city was known for homosexuality. It was known for wickedness and idolatry. And the whole city was there. And God said, I tell you what, he said, if there are 10 righteous people in that city, I would not destroy the city for their sake. Now, you understand that the reason God did not judge them is because of the presence of righteous, or the reason God said, I will not destroy, is because of the presence of righteous people there. And you see, throughout the Bible, Old Testament, you'll find that it was because of that remnant. It was because of those faithful people that God did not send judgment. Of course, in Sodom and Gomorrah, there were not 10 righteous people. And you remember the story? There was a man there by the name of Lot. And the angel warned Lot to get out of town. In fact, he didn't get out of town. The angels had to physically put him out of town. And the angel said, now you leave this city, you flee to such and such a city, don't even look back. Well, Lot's wife, her heart was still in that city. She loved that city. Boy, she liked the shopping malls and she liked all of that. She liked that. She liked living in the world. She liked being just as close to the world as she could get. And she didn't want to leave it. She didn't want to leave it. And even though God had said, I'm going to destroy this city, she had lost her saltiness in that city, had no influence on it. And so when they were going out of the city, the Bible said, and Lot's wife turned and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And how ironic that God had put them there to be salt, to be a preservative, and she did not fulfill her responsibility. And when she looked back, God turned into a monument of her failure as a witness in that city. I wonder what God's going to hold us accountable for in America. What's wrong with America? You think it's Hollywood? You think it's the homosexual crowd? No, what's wrong with America is God's people. That's exactly what's wrong with America. We've lost our saltiness, and God said we're to be salt. We are the preservative. People don't want to have anything to do with Christians. They don't want to have anything to do with God. But I'm going to tell you something. The only reason God's wrath, I believe, I'm convinced, has not fallen on America already is because of those dear saints of God who love Him and serve Him, and God is extending the days of this country so we can reach out and touch this world for Jesus, and I pray God to help us to do that. Salt is a preservative. It keeps from corrupting. And there's no other alternative for it, particularly in that day and in days in this nation's history. There was no other real preservative, no other way to save. Didn't have deep freezers and didn't have it. The only way to preserve was salt. And so we are a preservative. God's made you to be that preservative, that one that keeps God's wrath from falling down on here. America has the greatest freedom in the world. And thank God for that. But I'll say this to you. We have the greatest number of abortions in the world. We have the greatest number of crime in the world. We have the greatest debt of any nation on the face of the earth. And I believe with all my heart, we are just as wicked as any nation. And the only reason God has not judged America, I believe, is because of the presence of God's people in this country. God has left us here as a preservative. And God help us to use that opportunity to witness for folk and to get the gospel out. Salt. And you know, here's a person, salt, somebody said, is the soul, salt is like a soul to the body. When you have a person here and when that person dies and that soul leaves that body, it immediately deteriorates, begins to rot. Now you think about what's going to happen one of these days when the rapture occurs and all the saints all around the world are taken out. This world's going to be plunged into what's called great tribulation period. And the wrath of God's going to fall on it. And corruption's going to just take over. And it's going to be awful. It's going to be an awful thing. When God's people are taken out. Right now, you are the preservatives. Now, sometimes we're not appreciated. Sometimes God's people aren't appreciated. But you're the reason God's blessing America. You're the reason this morning, if you know Christ, you're the reason that God has stayed His hand of judgment on this country from judging this world is because of the fact that God's people are here. Now, let me tell you something about the way this salt works. You can sprinkle salt on things and you can see it for just a few moments. But if just a little bit, you will see it begin to disseminate itself. It'll begin to dissolve. When it's put where it's supposed to be, it'll begin to dissolve. You put it in soup or put it on meat or whatever, and it will begin to permeate. It will dissolve and begin to permeate. And it goes throughout that. Works invisibly. And so a lot of times the world doesn't see what's going on and you don't appreciate what's going on. But I'll tell you something, God's working. Salt doesn't need much fanfare. It's just there. And God's people, the genuine people, don't need much fanfare. They're willing to work silently. They're willing to work quietly and let God use them for testimony. Now notice what He said. He said, you are salt. They are salt. God made us that way. God created salt. It's a natural substance, not man-made. And God made us that way. We are salt for preservative. But quickly, let me come to the next thing. Salt is a great purifier. Salt is a great purifier. It's been used for centuries in procedures. You could take a salt compress and put it on a place where there is some decay and it will draw out. It'll draw out all of that disease. It'll draw out all of that decay and putrefaction that's in there. It'll draw it out. Salt is for healing. It is antiseptic in its nature. And my friend, God's people are healing. We ought to be healers. We ought to touch lives and heal them. We ought to change lives and make a difference in life. Salt is a purifier. I know this. Have you ever heard talking about salt, rubbing salt in a wound? You ever heard about that? Now, you know what? I sometimes get mouth ulcers. I don't know if you've ever had one or not. Now, I don't do this. I use something else. But my wife, she'll take salt, just pure old salt, and she'll take it and she'll put it on that mouth ulcer, and it'll burn like fire. I'll see tears come running out of eyes. And so salt, while it is a healer, is often an irritant. I mean, it has a good purpose, and it's there for a good reason. And in the long run, it'll be a blessing. But sometimes we can be a little bit irritated. Did you know that? Sometimes the world doesn't like us because we're a little bit irritated, not because of our weird personalities, but because we're so diametrically opposed to what they believe and the way they go. But listen, in the long run, it'll be a blessing. I had a fellow tell me down in Florida, he got saved. And he was talking to another fellow after he got saved. And he said, you know what? When I first met Brother Billy, he said he just aggravated fire to me. He said, but after a while, he said, took a while to get used to it. Well, that's true of real. When you get around folk that's not saved, I'm not talking about because you're an idiot, but I'm talking about because you're Christian. They don't feel always comfortable around you because of your stand and because of what you do. And it's a little bit of an irritation there, just like salt in a wound. But it's a healing process. And my desire and your desire is not to irritate people, but it's to heal people. It's to see people get right with God. It's to see people get saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Salt, my dear friend, is used. It will kill germs. It will cleanse. And salt is a good cleanser. I've got you. Most of you cook with cast iron, and you got old cast iron frying pan. And most of you know that you're recommended from time to time. If you're going to clean it real good, just put salt in it and rub salt around in it. You rub that salt around an old cast iron, but it'll clean it up, man, just like it needs to be. And you don't want to wash it with soapy water; you mess it up. But you put that salt in there, and it'll cleanse it, and you get it clean. And salt has a cleansing ability. Listen, you're talking about what a mess our nation would be in if it were not for the Christians. If it wasn't for God's people being here, just think where it would be. And you and I are salt. We ought to have that preserving quality. We ought to have that purifying quality. But then he talks here about salt having a savor. Now, if you've got a little problem with high blood pressure, the doctors will tell you need to leave off your salt. But you know and I know that things are just not very good if you don't have a little bit of salt on it. You got to have a little bit of salt on it. And throughout the Bible, salt's not mentioned in a bad light. And he talks about seasoning with salt. And he says that Christians bring life and vitality, and they bring that zest. And I like salt because it's a little bit zesty. You know what I'm talking about? It's got a little bit of kick to it, a little bit of fire to it. And God's people ought to be that way. They ought to have a little bit of life about it. Everybody say amen. 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 You need shaking a little bit this morning. You don't like much life in it. But salt, that salt puts taste in it. It excites you, your taste buds, I guess you'd say. And Christians are that way. You know what salt does? One thing it does. Boy, listen, I love to eat. I hate that. My doctor hates it. But it's good old salty thing like salt herrings. People in here don't eat them anymore. But salt herrings, anything with salt in it. Fish, boy, I love fish. But fish, if you don't put a little salt on fish, they're not hardly fitting to eat. But you put that salt on it. The thing about fish, my mama used to say this. After she'd eat good salty fish and just enjoyed them and had such a good time, after it was over, later on in the afternoon, she said, my fish are thirsty. And that salt, you know what salt does? Salt makes you thirsty. Salt makes you thirsty. And you and I are salt. And we ought to cause the world to become thirsty. They'll look at what you've got, look at what I've got, and look at our life, and they ought to want what we've got. And that's what Christ is saying. He said, you're salt to preserve this world. He said, you're salt to help purify this world. And you're salt to create a thirst in this world for the things of God. And the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, ho, everyone that thirsts, come, let him buy without price. My friend, and he stood up in the great day of the feast and cried about, he said, whosoever thirsts, let him come. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If God uses you to create a thirst in somebody, they can come and they can have their life satisfied. And what a wonderful blessing. It is. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a purifier. And salt adds that flavor and zest. It adds that savor. The Bible uses the word savor. But I want you to notice something. There are seven words in here that he uses to describe salt and the benefit of salt. But while there are seven that he uses to describe the benefit, there are 32 words that he uses in this little passage I just read to you to warn you about losing your savor. The tendency is not for you to get more on fire for God. The tendency is for you to get colder. It's not for you to want to climb higher and go higher with the Lord. It's a tendency to want to backslide. The tendency is not for you to be more active and want to get involved and really want to do something. It's for you to want to lay around and stay out of church. And he warns you about that. And I want to understand something. If Christ warns you, you better listen to it. Every time he warned in the Bible about something and when people didn't heed, boy, they reaped horrible consequences. And as a pastor, when I see people and they begin to get cold and indifferent, they begin to take the things of God lightly, and they begin to just miss church just casually and just lay out of church, boy, it breaks my heart. Why? Because we don't have a crowd? Because we don't have food? No, not that's not it. Because I know what they're going to be missing, and I know how they're affecting others. And when people see them and they've been watching them and they've had their eyes on them and they were on fire for God, and then all of a sudden they turn and go the other way. You know what a guy says? Nothing to it. I knew it all the time. I knew it wasn't real. I knew that being saved and living for God, nothing to it. I knew that business of going to church wasn't worth it. My friend, listen, God warns us about losing our savor. What happens when you lose your savor? And what happens? Well, you don't accomplish the purpose that you've got for it. You don't have, you and I, we have a little bit of salt and a shaker. We're not acquainted with it enough. But in doing my research, I found that when you store salt, exposure to light and to water and the elements can remove the saltiness out of that. And when they found it like that, you know what they did with it? They just cast it out. But they did have a use for it. They'd take that salt that has lost its savor. He said it's good for nothing but to cast it out and let it be trodden on the feet of men. If they had an area that they had weeds growing or briars growing or something, and it was something, a piece of land they never really intended to use for any good purpose, not on fertile ground, not on ground where they were going to grow a crop, but if it all they what they do is take that old salt that had lost its savor and they'd scatter it on that ground, because when they put that salt on there, it would never bear fruit. It became barren. And when you lose your savor, you become barren and you don't bear fruit. You don't win people to Christ. You don't bring other folks with you to the house of God. You don't impart the truth. People don't ever have any joy. They don't ever get born again because you become barren. And when you lose your savor, you say, oh, well, I hadn't been doing right and this, that, and the other. But have you ever thought about the barrenness you're causing in other people's lives? Have you ever thought about the fact that the reason that you, when you're out, you're not faithful to God, you're not on fire for God, they don't see you excited about the things of God, that you're causing a barrenness in their life and they don't trust Christ, they don't get saved? I saw a movie just recently, and the whole movie was about rescuing lives, rescuing, about the Coast Guard. Statement near the end, there was this rookie guy in the Coast Guard, and he wanted to break all the records of the guy who'd been the top rescuer. And it comes down, and they've talked about how many rescues he had, and this, that, and the other, all through the whole thing. And the key to the whole movie is right near the end. And the guy finally asked the old man, as he's fading off the scene, he said, what was the number? What was the number? And he turned around and he said, 22. He said, 22? He said, I thought there were hundreds. They talked like you saved thousands. He said, 22 that are lost. That's the only number I kept up with. Not how many I saved, but how many I lost. How many died because I wasn't able to save them. Can I tell you something? I got an idea that God loves those who are saved, but He left the 99 to go look for the one that was lost. The number He keeps up with is the one that's lost. And listen, when we lose our saltiness, when we lose our savor, my dear friend, we don't affect lives for the glory of God. When we get hung up on little things and take our eyes off Christ and begin to look at people, think about the lives that are being lost. Think about souls that are dying and going to hell because of our pettiness, because of our unfaithfulness. My dear friend, listen. He said, you are the salt. But if the salt loses its savor, He said, it is henceforth good for nothing. 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 I mean, listen, if you don't have that saltiness, I'm going to tell you, you're good for nothing. You're not good for teaching Sunday school. You're not good for singing. You're not good for being an example. Man, listen, when you lose that closeness to Christ and that intimacy with the Lord and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and bearing fruits unto righteousness and living for Him and being filled with the Holy Ghost, He said, you're good for nothing. Boy, that's bad, isn't it? That's bad. Good for nothing. That's an awful accusation to be good for nothing. Good for nothing. My friend, listen, this when you lose your savor, you go on a downward spiral. You begin to lead to deeper sin in your own life, to deeper sin in the lives of others. My dear friend, He warns us in the book of Luke, what is it that causes us to lose our savor? Lot's wife looked back at the world. She began to think back. And she began, more listen, she said, this business of living for God and walking with God is tough. Back yonder, I was happy. Back yonder, I had these good times. I didn't have all these problems. And when the devil begins to draw your mind back to material things, back to the worldly thing, and you begin to question whether or not you ought to go on with God, my dear friend, you'll lose your savor if you're not careful, and you'll become good for nothing. I read this. I only found it one place. I wanted to find it and do a little more research. I just didn't have time. Like I say, salt is something we don't work a lot with. We don't know a lot about it. But I read this, and they said that when they dig in the salt mines, salt that's out here that has lost its savor is good for nothing. They cast it underfoot. But on some occasions, if they wanted to revitalize that salt, if they wanted, they could take that salt that had lost its savor, put it back down in by the rock walls of the salt, back, put it right back up next to the salt block, right upside the rock salt. And that salt that was there would kind of re-energize that salt. It would draw out of that rock the saltiness that it needed. And once again, it could be salted. Now listen, I believe the lesson of that would be this. If you don't ever get back to where the rock is at, you're good for nothing. But there is hope for you. If you will let the Holy Ghost of God pull you back up real close to the rock of ages, back up to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that salt symbolized in the Old Testament, the salt of the sacrifice. If you let Him, if you get close up to Jesus, He could restore your saltiness and you could be used of God. Will you bow your heads for prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're the salt of the earth, He said. God's got a purpose for your life. Can I tell you, my dear friend, that sometimes you feel like you don't have any purpose in life? I want you to know that God wants to use you as a preservative. He wants to use you as a purifier. You're to live your life in such a way that God will purify you. So many things I want to share with you. I've heard this testimony 1,000 times of people in a workplace. And there were people around them who used foul language and they used profanity. But when they found out they were Christian or they realized they were Christian, a lot of times they'd come out, they'd say, all right, now y'all got to quit cussing. So-and-so is here. You don't tell the dirty stories. So-and-so is here. Now, that's not because they were irritant, not because they were obnoxious. They just realized that. And you think about how you influence folk for good, for the glory of God, just by your silent testimony. You're living for God. You're salt. But I'm telling you, if you lose your savor, you're good for nothing. You just walk close. You need to stay close to Jesus. Stay on fire. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Love people. Love souls. And God will use you. God will use you. You are salt. He says you are salt. And He'll use you if you'll just stay with your Savior. Let Him use you. And I wonder this morning if there's some folk in here. That the truth be known, you've lost a little bit of your savor. You've lost a little bit of your zest. You're not excited about serving Jesus. You're not on fire for serving the Lord. You've got stale. You've got cold. And you say, God, Lord, I want to be salty again. God, I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be right with God. I want to be close to Jesus. And I'm telling you something. You come to Him this morning. He said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful, just to forgive and to cleanse you. And if you'll snuggle up real close to Him this morning, He'll give you your saltiness back. You'll get out and you'll be a testimony. You'll be a witness for Christ.